across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Wild Man of Late Night Radio is back.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio.
Ian Lee, on air and off the leash.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hello, dear listener. Ian Lee here. I present nighttime show on Talk Radio, Monday to Friday, 10 o'clock at night till 1 o'clock in the morning. And the lady's voice you're going to hear is Catherine Boyle, who produces it.
Mine.
What you're about to listen to is the best bits from the first week of my show on Talk Radio. How long is this best bits show going to be?
2 hours.
Ooh, tough gig.
Well,
that really is going to be...
I don't know, you do go on.
We could play some bits twice?
Well, let's see how we get on.
Okay. So there are 2 hours of the... Hang on a second, why are we even doing this? They should be listening to the show properly.
Some of them are lazy bones.
Oh, for good... So, because of the lazy bones, we have to do extra work.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are children, so I'm going to have to be very careful and do extra work.
Right. So here we go. First cab off the rank. Are you ready for the best bits?
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
I tell you what, Sheila.
Yes.
We're gonna cross swords is the wrong phrase. We're gonna cross the streams. That's what we're gonna do.
You're gonna do what?
We're gonna cross the streams.
Right.
Right. But I'm gonna You know when you have party. You know when you have a wedding, right?
Right.
And let's say you've got 9 tables of 10 people.
Right.
And you know who goes on table 1, they're your favourites.
Yeah.
Table 2, there you're not. So you get to table 9 and it's full of the just people left over.
Right,
from different walks of life that have got nothing in common.
Absolutely. Like I've been to do's like that.
Yeah, you've got your Uncle Ernie and you sat next to the girl that your mum used to babysit for. So I'm going to do that now. I'm going to put you on table 9 at my wedding.
Right.
Could you say hello to Dennis for me?
Dennis? Hello?
Hello there. Hello. Hello. You won't know me,
hello,
but...
Hello, Dennis. And how are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, good. So, are you a family or
Oh,
friends?
God, yes. He took me to see 50 Shades of Grey.
Pardon?
He took me out to see 50 Shades of Grey.
Who did?
He did, yes. Ian did, yes.
You've been to
And I spent some time in hospital lately, and I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Young ladies playing with my dinky doo, and I thought I was in the 50 Shades of Grey.
How But where did that... You're meant to be a guest at a wedding.
No, I wasn't at a wedding. No, no, no.
That's what Ian said.
Oh, well, he's cross wires again.
Oh, is it? Oh, I see. Oh, I thought you were
I'm
a guest...
I'm up in Dunstable.
I thought you were a guest at a wedding, and I was asking you who you were related to or who you were a friend of, the bride or the groom.
I'll be friends with both of them.
Oh, I see. Oh, are you having a nice time?
I'm saying it's super time. Yes. Yes.
Oh, good, good, and you like the food.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And when the band starts up, are you going to have a dance?
No, because my wife and I are both 91, so we can't dance anywhere. Just...
Oh, well, I know a lady of 100.
Oh, and we stand up
and gets up at boogies. Hello?
Hello.
Yeah. So you're 90, yeah?
I'll be 91 at the end of May.
Oh.
He won't make it.
I will.
He won't make it.
You've said that before, and I'm still waiting for the 10 quid you lost.
Well, I wish you luck, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
And it's nice talking to you.
It's nice talking to you. Whereabouts
Thank
are you?
You? Hello?
Wilson! Flipping heck, Wilson! I'm having a little bit of trouble with the levels in my headphones. So sometimes I have it quite loud for me because I'm going deaf. Do you know why I'm going deaf, Wilson?
Why?
Because I have it quite loud for me. Do you see? It's a vicious. Well, I would say here we go. I would say vicious circle. Some people would say vicious cycle. Which is the correct one, Wilson?
Yeah. I don't really mind.
Okay. Okay. Schedule or schedule?
Schedule.
schedule.
There we go. Okay, here we go. I think you've chosen the Americanization of it, but I'm not totally sure. Wilson, you've got to be our youngest caller so far. You've got to be, because everyone so far has been in their 80s.
Do you know what?
Yep.
Hearing Sheila on there, because I listen to your old LBC shows.
Uh-oh.
The living legend. I'm just waiting for Barry to call up.
Well,
now.
Barry, listen, I don't know who's going to call. Everyone is invited. It's a free house here. Everyone is invited. Oh, no, one person is banned so far.
Oh, who?
Did you hear that we did some pre-show podcasts?
No, I didn't hear.
Sorry?
No, I didn't hear that.
What? Why?
I don't know. I didn't get to. Because I'm just relying on my dad to find them for me.
Well, we all know your dad's a slacker. Your dad's a slacker. There was a woman who came on the pre-show podcast. She's banned.
Oh. I wonder if,
The show hadn't even started and we banned our first person. Imagine that! Imagine that!
I wonder if, who was that kid which was banned on your LBC shows?
Oh.
Alex.
Listen, we're kind of... what's a joy is, lots of people have come from the LBC, rediscovered me from the LBC shows, lots of people have kind of rediscovered from the Absolute shows, loads of people have come over from the BBC shows. That's great. Everybody's welcome. But there will also be some people listening, Wilson, who ain't never heard this shtick before, and will be kind of scratching their heads going, well, it was all going so well with Julia Hartley Brewer, and it dipped a bit with John Holmes, but Sam Delaney, and what is this rubbish? What is this rubbish?
They can't say that this is rubbish. This is most probably the best radio, except from Danny Baker.
Well, there you go.
I've heard in a few years.
Hang on, how old are you? Remind us.
I am 10 years old.
There you go, you see.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh flippin' heck. Say hello to Kyle.
Hello, Kyle.
Hi, how's how you doing?
Yeah, I'm great, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not bad. Are you ringing in about Button Moon as well?
About what?
Ringing in about Button Moon.
Oh, I missed that bit.
We're not really talking about Button Moon.
Oh, that was the old we
talking about Wells.
We're not talking about old... Instead of throwing out topics, I should just throw out a list of things that we are not talking about, right? We're not talking about Muslims. We're not talking about immigrants. We're not talking about Brexit. We're not talking about Ian Duncan Smith. And we're not talking about old kids' TV programmes or old sweets.
Yeah, James O'Brien did all that this morning.
Don't, because James is one... I like James. He's one of the few people I like at... I like all the people at LBC, apart from one.
Surprise, surprise. I understand you're shocked at getting wise. I was feeling shame. You were feeling stupid. Cause I knew what was wrong with me long before you did. I knew what was wrong with me long before you did.
It's destined, dear listener, to become a future classic.
I spent my whole adult life worrying.
I've been listening to this whole album all weekend. It's a joy. It's a joy. But we're not a music station, so I should shut up. That's surprise, surprise. It's from the new album by Stephen Page. Stephen Page joins me on the line now, all the way from New York City, I believe, in the United States of America. That's right, isn't it, Stephen?
I've heard it's now part of the United States.
Hey, listen, your new album's excellent, man.
Sure.
It's always a relief, because let's be honest, okay? You must have met, like, musicians, I guess you'd call musical people, or heroes, and they're waving a new CD in your face, and you play it, and it's a stinker. I've interviewed people about new records that have been stinkers.
Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? Man, you know what? I am aware of that, because I'm just a huge music fan, and always aware of my 14-year-old self, the very most idealistic.
Yep.
Version of myself. It's like you have to be true to that, this record took so long because I knew exactly what I wanted to hear, and I wasn't going to stop until I got that.
Steve, I'm going to ask you, can you move ever so slightly closer to a window or something, because your line is a little bit crackly.
This is like one of the biggest cities in the world.
We got you. Don't move. Don't move, Paige. Stay there, Paige.
How's this?
Perfect.
How's
Don't this? Move. Don't move.
I am right up against the window.
Good. That is a very beautiful image. Right. So the new album, Heal Thyself Part 1. What? Give it. Why? What's the healing thyself? What's wrong?
I was thinking about the Bible quote, the Jesus quote. Right, physician, heal thyself, which is, I guess, supposed to mean don't judge anybody else's problems until you fix your own. But it really sounds kind of snarky, doesn't it? Like, you deal with something like depression.
Are you saying Jesus is snarky? Don't get me in trouble. I've just been in so much trouble with the Christians. Don't start it again.
Oh, that's right. Sorry for bringing that up. I'm going to say that I've followed the teachings of Christ. And no, it has nothing to do with that. It's, you know, like, I'm a depressive sort.
Yeah.
And I got in some trouble for some drug stuff at one point, too. And it's amazing the kind of judgment you get from the outside world, which is largely snap out of it and straighten up and grow up. And yeah, that's part of it.
It's interesting you mention this because, and I should say, and I'm trying to avoid it, but I kind of can't. I need to say it to frame the interview. You were in the Bare Naked Ladies, and that might ring a few bells with people's minds. I'm a huge fan of your solo stuff and the stuff with the group, and you have. There are lots of kind of oblique and not so oblique references to being mentally ill, depressed, in your songs. The Brian Wilson song, and this is where it ends, is the one where I thought, oh, this guy's living a similar life to me. You're not shy about talking about how depression has affected you.
No, especially not in song. I think in real life it's more embarrassing. In song I had help. I had other writers that I listened to who talked about their struggles and in different ways. And I think I romanticized it for a long time as a writer. It wasn't until I was in my late 30s that I went, okay, I can't just say I have depression or take Zach for 2 weeks and stop. I shouldn't take it seriously if I want to stay alive and make music and not be a complete waste of space also. And so now I've kind of had to speak out about it a little bit more seriously. It's not like I set out to write a song that's going to be some kind of song about informing people about what it's like to deal with it or in trying to invoke any kind of sympathy. It's more just like, you write from your own emotional experience. And I don't mind making people a little uncomfortable with it.
Unmissable Late Night Radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Happy Friday, Ed here. Ian Lee and Kath are away for the night, but we've got some great programming with the best of Ian Lee.
We're recording this on a Thursday night, me talking here. Mm-hmm. Might have closed down by Saturday.
Let's hope not.
Well?
There's four kids between us that need it to stay open.
Come on, guys. Support Talk for our kids. Evening, Noah.
Evening.
The only time I've ever come close to a mugging was when I was in Bounds Green in North London and a young lad on a bicycle tried to grab my chips off me.
What?
Tried to grab my chips. I was 20.
That's a contradiction, isn't it?
Sorry?
Active lifestyle bike.
Yeah.
Unhealthy chips.
Well, but it's the perfect crime. Because you eat the chips and then you ride off and you lose all of the fat and the weight gained. And I was 24, 25, so I was a young man. Mm. And I was 23.
Thin then,
24,
as well.
24, 24.
Sprightly.
I wasn't as sprightly as I would later become. Before those days. It was early days. And he grabbed the chips and he went, give us the chips. I went, what? He went, give it. He said, get this, Noah. I tell you what, Noah. Hello. You be a young hoodlum.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you demand my chips. And we'll reenact it. Okay.
What am I doing at this point? Just standing by.
You're my girlfriend at home, thinking.
Where's he going with my chips?
Where's he going with the chips? Right, go.
Give me your chips.
Oh,
that was a little bit. Oh, blimey.
He gave it his all, didn't he?
That really caught me off guard.
Yeah. You'd give him the chips, wouldn't you?
I would have. The chips have gone now. He's gone. You're right.
I'm fine.
Okay. Do it He was a young lad. He was about 16.
Yeah, but menacing.
But he didn't sound like Phyllis.
All right, okay.
So do it. Give us it again, Noah. But you're 16.
Give me your chips.
What?
Give me your chips.
Get out of it. Go on, bog off. I think I actually did say bog off.
Okay, but you wouldn't have said it to the first guy. You would have given him your chips.
And the first guy would have got the chips.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's why I don't like Have A Go Heroes.
Okay, thanks for that illustration.
Noah, well, look, Yasser's on the line in a minute. That's a blast from the past. What have you called in for, Noah?
About favourite helmets.
Excellent.
Yep, go on.
My favourite helmet is the one Judge Dredd uses.
Oh, that is a sweet helmet.
Oh, it's an iconic helmet. It's also very practical because not only does it keep your brain safe from hoodlums kicking it in, but that little emblem in the middle on top is actually a respirator. So if you ever get caught in a gas attack or something, you've got 20 minutes of oxygen.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
No.
Is it enough?
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing. Is it better than nothing, or is it just prolonging the inevitable?
Well, it was long enough for Dredd to use to kill his brother Rico.
Flipping Rico.
Rico?
Yes.
Welcome to the world of Yasser. Good evening, Yasser.
Good evening, Ian.
Oh, just crushed a plum as I crossed my legs there as I was talking to you. Isn't that funny? Well, not funny, it's painful. Did it just... You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Ed? You've crossed your legs aggressively before now.
It's not a fun experience, it's not, I'll tell you that.
Yasser, ever crushed a plum?
No, is that euphemism for something?
Yes, testicles.
No.
Okay.
I have. I have. Someone grabbed my boobs uninvited in a club once, so I crushed his plums.
So let that be a lesson to us.
He was very surprised.
Jeff, why did you look at me after you said that?
Just a warning.
That's a lesson for us all, isn't it, Yasser?
Yeah.
It is. It respect women's bodies is what...
Absolutely, yeah.
Absolute respect for women and their bodies is key, I think. It's key. Yasser, I've not spoken to you for what? About 10 years?
No, that's not true. We spoke, you forgot this.
Yep.
But we spoke about 4.5 years ago, actually, it was.
Okay, hang on one second, Yasser. Can I ask you what your views are on trumpets?
I don't want to blow my own trumpet because I haven't got one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Yasser.
Oh, it's that guy.
It's that guy. It's that
so
guy.
Pleased to meet you.
Yasser's greatest hits. Yasser!
That was 10 years ago, man. Come on.
Yeah, that was 10 years ago. But it's one of my favourite quotes of all time, as is...
I've got a mouth full of sausage.
So, you know... happy right, days.
I like the mushy peas.
There we go. Yasser, how's life treating you, mate? You're right.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
It's that thing, isn't it? When you've not met someone for years, right, you think you'd have loads of stuff to say to them. And you haven't, generally. You don't really have a lot to say. So I'm hoping that Yasser's going to turn this around. He's going to spin some old-school magic, and he's going to turn it around. Yas, what you got?
Tell me that you might not know about me. Last year, if you go on YouTube,
You killed someone.
I was in a YouTube video.
Oh.
Last year, that's got over 500,000 views.
500,000?
Yeah. I was actually... It wasn't my video. I was a part of the video, actually, last year.
What was it? Were you in a Justin Bieber concert?
No, it was in Trafalgar Square last May. Oh. It was a YouTuber does it guy.
Yeah.
And he said, like... It was like... About, even though it was about 50 of us. Yeah. It was a massive group hug.
Oh, no.
I don't like that. A massive group hug?
Yeah.
What were you doing that for, mate?
For YouTube.
Good evening, Jessica.
Hello.
Oh, blimey.
I heard the story about the seagull, the guy.
Has it made you sad?
Well, no, but I thought I could top it.
Oh.
Okay, come on then.
But basically, I went to Kenya for a month, and we liked to volunteer, and then we decided to go on safari.
Yeah.
At the end of the, time we're out there, so we can relax for a bit. And we went out in the morning for a game drive, and then when we came back, I went into my room and it was completely messed up, and I was like, all our food had been stolen, and like, our bags had been gone through, and I was like, I thought we had been like, our room had been burgled, so I went to go and talk to someone at reception, and they said it's probably baboons that had come into our room.
The what?
Baboons, because there was baboons on the reserve where we were staying.
I can't...
The bins.
The bins?
Baboons.
Baboons!
Baboons! Yeah. I thought the bins, the booze, baboons.
Baboons! Baboons.
And apparently they'd been, like, hanging around my room, like, all day, and they were trying to work out why, and I'd left the window unlocked, and it's, there's actually big signs on the window saying, keep the doors locked because there's, like, baboons that can come into the rooms, and they'd let themselves in.
But
they also shut the window behind them, which was quite cute.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I found, like, some packets of Mentos that they'd literally taken the Mentos out of the packet.
Flipping heck.
And then they actually put some stuff in the bin as well.
You're listening to the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Ian and Kath are taking the night off, and I'm here to keep you company till 1 a.m. I'm Ed, and we'll be back after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Wow, this best of really is going swimmingly well. I haven't laughed so much ever in my life. I'm really enjoying it.
You do it again but sound a bit less sarcastic?
No. Hmm. That was... No. No, I could, but I'm going to refuse to do that because I think that performance was perfect.
Certainly a performance.
Well, that's rude because, as you know, I don't know what the best of clips are. So I'm just saying this stuff and you're picking the best of clips. You might pick, like, a load of old rubbish to try and make me sound dumb so that you can get your boyfriend, Steve Allen, a gig here.
Ian, you Hello? Know I have excellent taste.
I know you have excellent taste. But I'm worried that you're going to pick rubbish bits so that I sound rubbish. I've got it. So that I get the boot and then they fire me, but like minutes before the show. Mm. And then they go, oh!
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do? And you go, I could do the show. Oh, a lady doing a late night show?
It's never been done, but it just might work.
It just might work. Away you go. That's me trying to be an Italian, like the God from The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed. Only through the actions.
The voice has not given. I'll shut up and listen to one of the highlights from my show this week.
Mom and Dad had trouble just getting along, so they split each in their own way. Now one lives here and one lives there, and my wife's folks did the same. Now we got a son, he's got next to no one. Everybody's so spread out. He's got his next to kin right next to him. But after that, we've learned to say, you go your way and I'll go mine. Ain't that how it is now, gay? People drift away in time.
Oh, man, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. We're not a music station, so I'm not really supposed to play anything. But flipping it, I've been digging John Sebastian, all my life. And for the last few weeks, I've got these wonderful little box sets here, and it has been the soundtrack in my car. I'm very excited. If I say hello, I think... John Sebastian, are you there?
Absolutely, I am, and I am delighted to hear you playing that particular tune that gets no airplay in the U.S.
It's a brilliant... I say it's a brilliant song. It's an upbeat song about divorce.
I know. It's cheery. It's friendly.
I am... John, it's such a thrill to speak to you, and I'm doing my darndest to avoid playing the obvious stuff. The Loving Spoonful, you had massive, massive hits.
Good on you, as they say in Australia.
I have got... There is this delightful box set. Cause I got the Loving Spoonful albums, got them. Then I got this delightful box set of four of your solo albums from the 70s.
Yes, I know the one.
And it's... I was aware of the John B. Sebastian album, which is a joy. You know, every home should have one of those. But I was not quite so aware of the Tarzana Kid and the Welcome Back LPs. Man alive, right. You've done some cracking stuff. Does it disappoint you, John, that I imagine whenever you do an interview, it starts off with Summer in the City and it ends with Daydream. Does it disappoint you that you've done dozens of other songs that are equally good, if not better... And they get overlooked a bit.
Well, you know, you got to be glad for what you get, I think, is the moral there. I have had a very fortuitous songwriting career compared to many of the cats that I looked up to, not just that were my contemporaries, but that I thought were a lot better. And so I can't really say that, but... I am pretty much recognition free. You're right.
Oh no, they're all a joy. I mean, you're a big boy now, and Red Eye Express. I mean, come on, man, that's a great song. When you left the Spoonful, and if I've got this right, the wheels kind of came off it, and it sort of fell apart a bit. Correct me if I'm wrong. But what did you think was going to happen? Did you think you would kind of have as much success with a solo career?
Well, I was just glad to be able to get on to whatever was coming next.
Yeah.
And for me, it didn't really have much to do with more than making records. And for me, what the fun was going to be was an idea that Paul Rothschild and I had unhatched, which was... let's make an album of songs, because you, John, write all over the board. You don't write in this one bag. Let's pick the right players for every song.
Yeah.
And that entailed going to a number of different, atmosphere, musical atmospheres.
Yeah.
And it was delicious to do. I had really enjoyed working with the Spoonful, and part of the process is that you eventually say, yeah, and I'd love to play with other people too, and not just new strangers, but people that, because I'd had a odd little accompanist's career before I ever was in the Spoonful, a lot of my contemporaries that were in that same position were now, many of them, quite visible guys, and I was going to delight in being able to invite people like Stephen Stills and Graham Nash and David to...
Well, you read the back of this box set, right? These are some of the people on there. David Crosby, Stephen Stills, Graham Nash, Dallas Taylor, the Iketts, Phil Everly, Ry Cooder, Emmylou Harris, the Pointer Sisters. I mean, what a list of superstars.
It was a lovely period of our history when artists had the flexibility and the cash to be able to do something like that.
Can I ask, is it true? I'm going to try and avoid some of the obvious stuff, John, but there is some famous stories I do need to hear. I've got a few myths I want to clear up. Is it true that it was very nearly Crosby, Stills, Nash and Sebastian?
Oh, I couldn't go that far with you, actually.
Okay.
Because what happened was mainly a conversation that was sort of in play for a week or more. And the conversation went something like this. We can't find a drummer. We don't want somebody that just goes tick, 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 boom, tick, 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 boom, because we're sort of, it's like an acoustic effort here that Stills was putting out. There was something distinctly new about his vision for the way that band was going to come together.
Yeah.
And I did watch several stages of it because I had invited the band up to my house in Long Island. And
wow.
They were rehearsing in my little music barn and playing with people like Harvey Brooks and Paul Harris and wonderful. And in fact... somewhere just before that, I had heard Dallas Taylor in a band called Clear Light that had recorded with Paul Rothschild, who was my main conduit into all of this studio work that had preceded our actual product, you know, producer artist relationship. All the Spoonful stuff marvelously with Eric Jacobson. And in fact, I did get a chance later on to do another one in Tarzan the Kid with him. But the idea that Paul and I carried forward there, I mean, it was wonderful to be able to carry that out.
Here on this show, me and my producer Catherine, we are huge Cass Elliot fans. We love Cass, and her solo albums from the 70s that get criminally overlooked. When did you first meet Cass, and how delightful was she?
Oh, my God. I thought I had my children's Jewish aunt all picked out. That's all I can tell you. Cass really was the center of our little musical universe. I mean, not always musically. She was pivotal in many cases in saying, "Oh no, you, Steve, and you, Graham, really ought to sing together with Crosby."
Yeah,
stuff like that.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the best of Ian Lee tonight. Ian and Kath are taking a well-deserved night off. We'll be back with more from the best of Ian Lee after the break. This is Talk Radio.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I don't know about you, but I'm finding this best of quite a grind. I mean, I'm really struggling to see any light at the end of what is a very, very long, dark tunnel.
I've got something to cheer you up.
Yee.
This.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yes, Alan.
Come explain, Ian.
What?
Come explain, Ian.
I can't. The thing. Right. Okay. Several things are creating mayhem. May I explain what they are, Alan?
Go on, Ian.
Number one, I'm actually going deaf.
I'm sorry.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Pardon?
I'm sorry for doing that.
Huh?
I'm sorry.
Huh?
Excuse me!
No, I'm actually going deaf. So you're laughing at someone who's pretty close to getting a blue badge. So I would stop that if I were you. I'm going deaf. Right. Because I have the headphones too loud. Yeah. Secondly, there's something not quite right in this studio. Partly, it's the cups, the Coke bottle and the empty glasses that have been left here from I don't know which show. But also, there's something not quite right. So the phone calls are very muffled. They're loud, but they're muffled in my ears. Probably sounds great on the radio. It does sound great on the radio. I've been listening, but in my ears muffled. So that's two things. And the third thing, you talk like you've got a wanger in your mouth, and it's really hard to understand what you're saying, Alan. So those three things combined mean it's really tricky to follow your thread.
Please, can you tell me the topics for the show?
Yes, I can, buddy. Have them written down. 0844-499-1000. We'll call you back. Okay. Oh, yeah, here's something. It was just mentioned in the news. British Home Stores.
Yeah.
BHS, right?
Yeah.
It's in financial trouble, and they've had to be bailed out. Do you know what I find amazing about that story?
Go on.
I thought British Home Stores went bust about 20 years ago.
Oh, I wonder how they managed to survive all this time.
I don't know how they did manage to survive. The thing I used to like about British Home Stores was they had an amazing lighting display in the basement section in Slough in Queensmere, which I was in today. And it turns out the HMV I used to work in is now a B&M. Is that a thing, B&M?
Well, I knew they took over Woolworths in Northfield in Birmingham.
Woolworths. Let's have a moment's silence for Woolworths, shall we?
Yes.
Ready? Done. Now, But I used to like the fact that I've just remembered they used to have in the light section. You could also they had a big wall covered in
doorbells.
Exactly. They were covered in
doorbells,
and there was all the different
doorbells
noises you could get. So, but I thought British Home Stores went bust years and years ago, and it turns out I was listening to a really interesting report on Radio 5, I mean Talk Radio. And it turns out that someone, they sold British Home Stores about 2 years ago. Guess how much they sold it for?
£1.99.
A quid. Now, if I'd have known that BHS... Ooh, if I'd have known that BHS was up for grabs for a quid, I'd have had it. I'd have had a go. You've got to for a quid. Also, if you knew it was for sale for a pound and you went into one of their stores and they were selling... like a top for 20 quid, well, you might as well buy the shop for a quid. You take all the tops you want for free and then just leave it. Just throw the keys in the canal. Might as well do that, Alan.
Yeah, we can be another Poundland.
Yeah.
Be another Poundland.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, well, it's good to know that you started.
I mean, what other topics have we got as well as BHS?
Because that one's not grabbed you.
Well, what other topics have we got tonight? We need to have a variety in the mix.
Yeah. When did popcorn become an acceptable face for snacks? Because popcorn... Right, first of all, popcorn is American. That's fine. So are pizzas. When we only ever saw popcorn in the 70s in watching American movies, OK? And then you could buy popcorn kernels and make your own popcorn, and that was good. I'd play the song, but I don't think I've got it on this computer. And that was good, right? And then you went to the pictures and you could buy popcorn there, already made. All right, that was good. And then you could buy the big party bags of popcorn that were a bit rubbish, but that was okay. But now you go to the crisp aisle, Alan, the crisp aisle, there's popcorn in there. It's not just sweet popcorn and salty popcorn. It's like, sweet and sour popcorn. It's like chicken fried rice popcorn. It's like fish and chip popcorn. It's like bum popcorn. It's just what is going on with it, Alan?
I don't know. We're going popcorn crazy.
Popcorn crazy. 0844-499-1000. Let's go to Barry in Watford. Good evening, Barry.
Hello. Long time no speak.
Have we spoken before, Barry? You'll have to remind me.
It's Barry.
From Watford, yep, it says on my screen. Where did we speak? Did you used to phone the BBC when I was there?
Well, yeah, it's Barry.
Barry from Watford, yeah, it says on my screen.
Yeah, it's Barry.
From Watford, yeah.
It's Barry.
From Watford, yeah.
Yeah, it's Barry.
From Watford.
Do you remember?
Who is this?
Barry.
From Watford.
Yes.
It says on my screen.
Barry.
From Watford.
Yes.
Yes.
Barry.
From Watford?
It's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
It says on my screen?
Yes, indeed.
When did you... did you phone me at Three Counties?
Well, it's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Yeah? It says
on... It's Barry.
From Watford. It says on my screen, yes?
Yes.
I don't know you, sir.
Oh. I phoned... It's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes. It's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
I know. It says on my screen.
Yes. I used to phone a while back... Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
It says on my screen.
Yes, Barry.
From Watford. I'm going to need a little bit more than that. I've been doing this job for about... let me finish. Let me finish. Yes. I've been doing this job for about 12 years. I've worked in about 5 or 6 different radio stations. Yes. I've had thousands of callers, so I'm going to need a little bit more than... what was it?
Well, it's Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Can I speak now?
Please do.
Yes, I'm going to start now. Speaking now.
Away you go.
Here I go. Just going to...
Barry from Watford.
That's it. I'll speak now.
Please do.
Yeah. I used to phone a while back. I don't know whether... Hello? Yeah. I used to phone a while back.
Yeah.
And I was always known as Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Yep.
Barry.
From Watford?
Yes. I was known as Barry, you
from
see.
Watford. It says on my screen. I know that, but I don't know who you are.
I used to phone, I was a regular.
Is this sentence... Are we going to get to the end of this sentence? Because I've heard the beginning bit of it about 20 times.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
So let's get to the end of the sentence.
Okay. And I used to phone you
yes,
a while back.
That's the middle,
right?
Middle of the sentence.
Yeah. And when I phoned, we got on ever so well. We was a bit of a double act a while ago.
Never really worked as a double act.
You remember me.
Who is this, please, caller?
Barry.
From?
Yeah, Watford.
Barry?
Yes, from Watford.
Barry?
Yes, from Watford. Jesus.
Is this Barry?
I want to talk about the Brexit.
What?
The Brexit. The Brexit.
Right.
We're talking at the same time now.
I know, hopeless. so you can shut up.
Oh, sorry, go. You carry on now. Yeah. Huh? Well, you go, you say something. You talk now, sort of thing. And then I'll say something after. Keep going.
That's how the conversation...
Right. Oh, sorry, you go.
That's how the conversation
sorry,
works.
Yes, you
it's all right. Oh, we're not... Have you been listening to the show this evening?
No. Oh. I stumbled in, I've suddenly remembered. I wonder whether you might remember.
It's Barry.
Yes, from Watford, that's it.
Barry.
Yes, from Watford, that's it.
Barry.
Yes, from Watford, that's it.
Barry.
From Watford, that's it.
Barry.
I want to talk about the Brexit.
So you've not been listening to the show?
No.
Right.
It's an important thing. I mean, you come on here. I've heard you talking about putting things up your bum and that. There's very important subjects afoot.
The thing is...
Yes.
This isn't that kind of show.
Oh.
Because you can get that on the other stations that are doing this. This show is more about having a bit of fun.
Yeah, putting things up your bum and that.
Please don't say that.
Oh, sorry.
Having a laugh. We got the Dennis Le Corrier from Doctor Hook coming on in about an hour.
I've never heard of him, but it sounds impressive.
Oh.
And
so we're not really... We're trying to do something a little bit different. And that...
Oh, you like the Europeans, is it? You like that? That's what it is.
Sorry?
You're not really allowed to say things now, aren't you, if you don't agree with, you know...
Huh?
Well, I want to say we want to leave the Europe, and you're saying, clearly, you don't want to talk about that. Anyone with a different point of view...
Well, you don't know what my point of view is.
Well, I do.
What's that music?
Our houses hills till we have
what are you doing, mate?
Jerusalem of yours in England's green and black.
I'm going to cut you off.
No!
Yes, go. Who was that?
Good old Barry from Watford. You're listening to the best of Ian Lee here on Talk Radio. If you've just tuned in, Ian and Kath are taking a well-deserved night off. So they will be back next week. Don't forget you can download the Ian Lee podcast at talkradio.co.uk. Get it through iTunes or your normal podcast provider. And don't forget to give it a good rating, like 5 stars. Yeah, 5 stars. I think that's a fair rating. As I said, Ian and Kath will be back next week, and we are playing some best of clips here on Talk Radio. Before we go to the news at the top of the hour, here's that hit from the Monkees that Ian loves so much, and I'm sure you do too.
Me sending messages and pictures, directing traffic in the mall, or buzzing with some brand new shoes. She never fails to surprise. She makes me laugh. I'm so glad that
scrabble with the guys and wear our pink party hats. Maybe I should take her on safari. You'll see us wave from our canoe if that's what she wants to do. Tell me what's wrong with that. She makes me laugh.
Monkeys, She Makes Me Laugh, one of Ian's favourite songs from the new Monkeys album. If you're wondering who I am, I'm not Ian, nor am I Kath. No, I'm neither of them. Surprise, surprise. I'm Ed. I'm the guy that presses the buttons for Ian Lee, Late Nights with Ian Lee. Ian and Kath are taking a well-deserved night off, which is fantastic for them. It's nice to have a long weekend. And meanwhile, I'm here home alone in the Talk Radio studio. Coming up after the news at the top of the hour, we'll have more of the best of Ian Lee, some of the great moments from the show. Don't forget, you can catch this week's best of program, the best bits from this week only, here on Talk Radio, 6 a.m. Sunday. So make sure you do tune in for that. And of course, there's the daily podcast, which you can catch at talkradio.co.uk or search for Ian Lee in iTunes, I-A-I-N-L-E-E.
Me and Magdalena, always leaving early and sleeping late. Secluded in the canyon, lost within a turn of fate. But know everything lost will be recovered when we drift into the arms of the undiscovered.
Radio.
Hi, I'm not Ian Lee. Ian and Kath taking a well-deserved break, but there's more from the best of Ian Lee here on Talk Radio coming right up after the latest news and sport here on Talk Radio.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Guys, you survived 60 minutes, or maybe you've only just tuned in. Either way, I'm going to position myself comfortably here and tell you what you're listening to. This is the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. Who he? You may remember me from telly in the olden days. Ask your parents. Anyway, so far we've had, and then just putting clips of the bits that we've had, because I don't know what we've had.
All kinds of good stuff.
That's it. Put it, just, edit.
Leave a pause.
Beautiful. But now, things took a serious turn on Tuesday's show.
Did they?
When this happened.
What?
I don't know. I'm just trying to...
I didn't know. I think it was Tuesday when we talked about the beautiful horse. That was Wednesday.
Oh, such a beautiful horse. Things took a serious turn on Wednesday when we had this rather moving call.
No.
No? Thursday? Or was it just us messing around again?
I think it probably is, yeah.
Things didn't take a serious turn when we didn't receive a serious call. Instead, it was just us messing around again. Oxford Journal, would you please welcome to the show? It's Dennis Le Corrier. I'm going to say it because you're doing a tour as Dr. Hook, the lead singer of Dr. Hook. Hey, Dennis, how you doing?
How are you? No, that's okay. I mean, you know, it's funny how over the years people think if they mention that to me, I'm going to get angry or something. It's probably the most important thing I've ever done.
But
you know?
there are some, you know, rock stars and pop stars and things who they kind of get a little bit sniffy about the thing that made them famous, about, you know, if the hit or the group, and they get a little bit funny about talking about it. Have you ever had that where you've you know, someone's given you a Dr. Hook record to sign, and you've gone, no, I'm not signing that.
No. The only thing I did, man, was in 1985 when we did the farewell tour. You know, I kind of I wanted to move on to other things because I was like, you know, I was 35 years old and people were saying to me, hey, you used to be, you know, and it made me check my pulse. I mean, I just felt like I was way too young to be a used to be. So I kind of drifted away from it for a while. And also I went through a period of, like, you know, if you didn't sing a certain song, someone would tell you the whole show was dreadful, you know? And I took great umbrage at that. But, man, it's a funny thing about having a history. You know how they always tell you, Ian, you know how they always tell you that great wise, you know, you have to be here now.
Yeah.
You must be. Well, when you're in a position like I am, and I guess a lot of people who do what I do, you're always thinking about the past, and you're always worried about how you might parlay that into some kind of future.
Yeah.
And there's very, very little room to be here now. So I kind of took a nice long be here now break, did some solo albums, wrote some songs for other people, put out a book of poetry and cartoons, not to compete, you know, it's not like I'm trying to supersede my career, but just so I knew I had a genuine pulse.
You put out
the Hook thing is just part of what I do, and it's cool. It's great.
You did right, a great album, Post Cool, which, yeah. I don't, how long ago was that? 5 years ago?
Yeah, about, yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant. It's this delightful little kind of sort of folky, country, poppy album with these, it's charming. Charming is the word. And
cool.
It's a cracking record.
Yeah, well, man, it's the old thing. You know, when I was with Hook, we had the might of Sony or Capitol, EMI, behind us. You know, and it was a different day. I mean, it's funny how they keep, the business keeps making you chase yourself because, you know, the labels have made it pretty certain that nobody's going to make any money selling records. So now everybody has fleeted onto the stage, you know, and now you can't get a booking because they go, well, really, you know, we got the Russian circus in here all week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this business kind of eats itself, you know what I mean? So these days I try to be consistent. I think the Hook thing is cool, man. You know, a couple of years ago, Universal Music asked me, because they acquired all the old catalog. And I was glad they did, because it's new to them, so they're excited about it. When it was laying in the EMI vaults, it was all news.
Yeah.
So Universal said, will you help us put out an album? And I've been involved doing that. We did it here in the UK, and it went top 10, and same with New Zealand. And, you know, that's pretty cool, man. This material's like 41 years old.
Here's the thing, Dennis, right? I've told you this before. I was brought up on Neil Diamond by my dad and Dr. Hook by my mum. And as a kid, it's like, I hate this stuff. I hate it. And then as I got older, I thought, this is brilliant. The thing, when people think of Dr. Hook, though, they think of Sexy Eyes and When You're in Love with a Beautiful Woman, right? Great songs, but if you listen to, like, the first, I don't know, first three Hook albums, it's a completely different band. Those are filthy, filthy albums. We played a little bit last night of I Got Stoned and I Missed It.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those early things, man, you know, when we were a bar band, you used to have to play anything that kept you from being killed. really, I'm not kidding. And then you could do dirty versions of cover songs to entertain yourself till 3 o'clock every morning, you know. And so when we became sort of like a commercial, you know, entity. We had the power of songs by Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
And he wrote Sylvia's Mother, but he also wrote Freaker's Ball. And he wrote The Ballad of Lucy Jordan, but he also wrote Acapulco Goldie. And he also wrote Cover Rolling Stone. And it was the thing where it was like, I always thought if one guy could write that kind of diversity, why couldn't one guy sing that kind of diversity? And it kept us confusing. But those early albums, Ian, are the band really just singing our hearts out, and it was raw, and we didn't care what we looked like or how it sounded. We just wanted to get it out there. And then we all went broke and bankrupt, and nobody could feed their families. And we thought, okay, do we want to try to be real people and get jobs, or do we want to stay in this business? And to stay in the business, man, we had to get on the radio.
You had to get slicker.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. Let me tell you something, okay? In America, they had all these radio stations. And what was pretty cool is all these big tracking stations like WHN in Chicago and WABC in New York and WMMS in Cleveland was a big one. And if they went on your record, about 40 smaller stations all over America, and you needed that. You needed all those arteries and stuff. So we went in with one of our early records back when I looked like Bigfoot with a guitar, you know. And Rosalie Trombley, I think her name was, who was the program director, this older woman, she wouldn't have anything to do with us at all. And we got haircuts and, you know, slicked it up a little bit, shag haircut, and walked into her office with Sharon the night together, and she didn't even play the record. She looked at me and she went, yeah, that's better. Like she was my auntie. You know what I mean? It was like I was visiting my grandmother. And, you know, I always used to laugh about that because some people used to have to ply them with cocaine. I just had to get a haircut, you know?
The thing is, right, it's funny you say you were with 35 when Dr. Hook split up, because you joined them. They were all, the rest of the band were older than you. What were you, 15 when you joined them?
I was about 19, as a matter of 19. Fact, I was 35 when it ended. Ray Sawyer was 34 when it started.
Wow.
You know.
And let's clarify, because there would be people, this must be, right, you know this comes from a place of love, Dennis. I'm going to ask you the question that I bet you get asked loads, and is the most irritating question you could be asked. Where's the eye patch?
Yeah, no, let me tell you something about that. The most irritating thing would be if they just assumed it was me.
Yeah, right.
You know, if they're asking about it, it means it's still up for question.
Right.
The guy with the eye patch was a good mate of mine back then, Ray Sawyer. I mean, you know, he was the icon of Dr. Hook the way Mick Jagger's lips are the icon of the
world. He was the look, and you were the voice.
Yeah, after a while it did fall that way. It really did fall that way. And you know, so, and people do, they ask me that all the time. But, you know, it gets to be, because I'm only, you know, I'm a human being, it gets to be a little annoying on the scope of where, it's not so much that people ask, but, you know, when you go to a record store and you pick up a CD and it says Dr. Hook at his very best, and it has a picture of Ray on the cover, and I turn over the album and I'm singing a whole lot of songs on there, and after, you know, for the most part, I walk away whistling. But after a while, or on a bad day, you know, I'm not going to trash the HMV, but, you know what I say to you? Here's the deal. How about if every night you did your show and they introduced you as someone else?
Yeah.
And then they said, and not only that, from now on we're going to do that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a popular misconception.
How did 19-year-old you then hook up? What were Hook? Like a country band when you joined them?
No, Ray and Billy and George played in bands down south together. And then they all drifted off. And George Cummings came up to New Jersey. And he was playing in these bars. And when I was a kid, first of all, I started out sitting on the steps of these bars and listening to the music. When the doors opened, I would look really quickly at the band. And then when I was old enough to sneak in, I just sat in and played drums or played harmonica or sang. I just sat in with bands. And one night, George asked me if I could play guitar. I think he was too stoned to do a set. And I went, okay. And that's how I met George. And then Later on, Ray came up and they asked me to play bass, and it was just a little bar gig, but I was maybe 12, 13 years younger than them,
yeah.
And they were all from the Deep South, and it was very exotic to me, and I was kind of exotic to them because I knew all this pop music, and they knew all this country and blues, and it was kind of a good, you know, it was a good marriage.
I just honestly, I think those first three albums are delicious, and Lost Classics is perhaps too strong a word, but I just there's a real, you'll know this, there's a real snobbery, isn't there, when it comes to music, and some bands are cool and some bands are not cool, and I grew up liking the Monkees, so I never cared, you know, I got bullied for that, I never cared about the cool thing at all. How were Hook perceived? Was there a period when Hook were cool?
Never.
Man,
we were always like, you know, right at the end of the radio station there where it's a little off the dial. It was never, you know, our first record, Sylvia's Mother, this, you know, lovely ballad that I sang seriously. I tried to put emotion in it. They thought that one was funny. And then cover Rolling Stone, they thought was probably a documentary, you know. I mean, so really, nobody ever knew how to take us. And, you know, I want to say something about what we talked about earlier, because yeah. You said, you know, people will know when you're in love with a beautiful woman and sexy eyes and maybe not know the earlier stuff. But I have to tell you, in some really twisted irony, that stuff that a lot of Dr. Hook purists would say is where we sold out is the reason people still know who Dr. Hook is. Because I swear to you, Ian, we would have been relegated to, and I don't mean to be mean to any of the bands, because I'm talking about genre, not talent or status, but Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, the new Riders of the Purple Sage.
Wow, hang on, are these real bands? I've never heard of these guys.
Old psychedelic rock bands when we started in the early 70s.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
You're listening to the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. And I'm not saying any more.
I will then.
This link is short.
No.
This link is short.
It needs to be lengthier.
This link... Don't say that to me. You know that that sentence has haunted me...
Ian.
...throughout my years as a man.
Make it longer.
Catherine, there is nothing I can do. I've pulled and I've... There might actually be young people listening, so let's
leave it to me then. Here's the best bits of Ian Lee's show. Well, not the best bits. I put those on in the first hour. Here's the second best bits of Ian Lee's show.
That's cool.
And when I say best, I mean all right.
Wow.
Good evening, Ian.
Good evening, Philip. Oh. I was saying to Catherine, my producer.
Right, yes.
I said, oh, Gary Shandling's died. She went, who?
Yeah.
I went, Gary Shandling? She went, no. I said, he was brilliant. I don't know.
He was,
So I then showed her some clips from Larry Sanders, and she was just sat there, stone-faced.
Yeah.
Stone-faced at Larry Sanders. The bit with William Shatner on the phone. Stone-faced.
I mean, he was... and the other person who passed away, so you might not know him, but I saw him in a lot of things, was Mr. Ken Howard. The first time I saw Ken Howard was in a series back in 78 called The White Shadow.
Yes.
In which he played a basketball teacher in a school.
You can't get a white shadow.
Oh, well, I think it was because he was the only white person in the team, you see. I mean, he was the coach. There was a clip on YouTube from The White Shadow in which the Harlem Globetrotters come to the school.
Here's the thing, kids, listening to this, right? When I was growing up, one of the most successful entertainment troupes in the world, they weren't dancers, they weren't singers, they weren't even impressionists. They were a basketball team.
Yep.
Oh, hey man, here we go.
Coming down the street.
I don't know, but it's time for me like that man with the bone.
Sure having himself a ball.
Hang on a minute, we're doing kids' TV shows from the 70s, and I've just said that that's not what we do! Noah's on the line.
Well, I could turn with you a little bit on the second Captain America movie, maybe.
Did you like it?
I actually think that's the best superhero movie since The Dark Knight.
Oh, you are having a laugh.
No, I'm serious.
You're joking!
I'm one of the few people that actually enjoyed the first Avenger, but the second one completely blew it out of the water. I just dig the storyline of this relic from World War II who fought and defeated Hitler and the Hawk forces of Hydra,
yes,
and the Red Skull, and he now lives in this high-tech Big Brother police state, and he tries to bring it down from within. It captures the zeitgeist of our times.
Well, well, hang on a minute. The first Captain America films captures the zeitgeist of our times.
No, the second one.
The second one does. Yes, you're absolutely right. It really, what? Because there's a mad bloke with long hair and a metal arm going around punching buses.
No, it's not that. It's more like the police state, the surveillance state, the shadow government, the Alex Jones stuff.
Alex Jones. You don't buy into that Alex Jones nonsense, do you?
Hang on a minute. I've met Alex Jones and I've spoken to him a couple of times.
And I bet he's
a very nice fellow.
I bet he's an absolutely delightful bloke. I've seen him being interviewed. I've seen the John Ronson programme on him. But most of what he says is bullshine.
Hello there. Don't know if you remember me. I phoned last night, Barry from Watford.
Yesterday?
Last night.
Yesterday?
I believe I said last night.
You mean yesterday?
Well, last night.
Okay. So, you phoned yesterday?
Well, I phoned last night. Do you remember, Barry?
From Watford?
Yes. Last night I phoned.
Yesterday?
Barry.
From Watford?
Yes. I phoned last night.
Yesterday?
Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Did you phone yesterday?
Last night, Barry.
From Watford?
Yes.
Did you phone last night?
Oh, yesterday, yeah.
Okay, well, let's try and focus on today. I don't remember.
Okay.
It wasn't. Don't take this the wrong way.
Oh, okay. Go on.
I'd say this with ultimate respect.
Okay.
It didn't. It's not struck a chord with me. I don't remember it. So it was obviously one of the less significant phone calls. We had a great phone call yesterday.
Yes, last night. Yeah.
We had some great phone calls yesterday. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit disappointing, you say.
We had Alan Caddick phoning in. He was he's always good value.
No disrespect, you said, but a little bit hurtful.
We had that young... Someone phoning up playing lots of music.
Yeah, not quite.
What were you talking about? Because I don't remember it.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Brexit.
No.
No?
No.
No?
No.
That's not what I'm phoning about tonight.
Good, because we're not going to be talking about the Brexit.
Not even touching?
Not touching your Brexit
brushing,
at all.
Brushing the Brexit?
We are going to leave the Brexit
tickling
sheathed.
The Brexit?
The Brexit is sheathed. I don't care if it's...
Probing the exit. Now, I just want to tickle the exit for a second. What I want to say is this. Where do you get off slagging off Dad's army? Where do you get off slagging off Dad's army? One of the finest sitcoms this country produced.
Well, two things, right?
Oh, go on.
Yeah, thank you. Two things. First of all, have you seen the latest movie?
No, I haven't.
It's rubbish.
Oh.
Secondly... The TV series was rubbish as well.
Oh,
it's nothing.
No. Go on.
I'm going to, if you shut up.
Yes.
Thank you. There is nothing funny about a load of old men and one man pretending to be old, Clive Dunn.
Yes.
Because he was very young.
Yes.
Being all doddery. Oh, there come the Germans. Oh, look out. There's nothing funny about someone pretending to be an old man and pretending to be all doddery. It's not funny.
No, quite right. But as all those wonderful catchphrases. Don't worry. Don't worry, Captain Mannering. He goes, don't worry. Watson, get the men to line up, Watson. It goes, wonderful. And people like you...
Yeah?
Yes.
People like you...
Enemies of this country.
Oh, shut up!
Yes, you
shut
are.
Up! What do you mean, enemy of the country?
That's one of the things, one of the cultural signposts or something of this... Well, not signposts, that's a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
One of the cultural... flag posts.
Lisa on Twitter has said Dad's army is a load of old...
Well, who's she then?
Well, she's Lisa on Twitter.
No doubt she wants to stay in Europe and all.
Oh, are we not talking...
No doubt she doesn't want a Brexit.
We're not... I want you to put your Brexit away. We're not talking about it.
Hill on hill.
Oh, God. I'm going to cut you off. Here we go.
If you're sitting there thinking, hold up, I've heard Barry from Watford talk about that before. You probably did, because it's from the last... he also was on the last hour of The Best of Ian Lee, which is what we're playing right now. Plus, as I said, it's The Best of Ian Lee. These are some of the best bits that you may have missed from The Ian Lee Show here on Talk Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue with more highlights after this.
The wild man of late night radio is back.
Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
You're listening to The Best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. And when I say the best, I mean, yeah, sorry, this is literally the best we could find, all right? Come on, give us a break. Talk Radio, I don't know what the hell was happening there. The computers took over. It was like Terminator. Andy Partridge is here. Evening, Andy.
Blimey, that was a long break.
I know.
We put wallpapered the room I'm in.
Flipping. It was longer than we were all expecting. Are the Dukes ever going to get back together?
Oh, no, they shouldn't. They all died in a terrible blending accident.
The Dukes are brilliant. For those who don't know, they were like a little sort of secret anonymous side project that you lot did, where you pretended to be a psychedelic band and recorded some authentic kind of, you know, sort of 66, 67 psychedelic pop music.
Yeah, they were the band that myself and Dave Gregory wanted to be in when we were at school. You know, and we thought, yeah, when we grow up, we'll be in a band like that. You know, and then you grow up and you're in a band and it's nothing like that. Because times have changed, matey. And I thought, God, we've got to put this right. We've got to be the band that we always thought we were going to be as school kids. So, yeah, we recorded a couple of albums worth of that sounded vaguely like every band you heard in 67, yeah. 68, really. 67, that was the target year.
You listen to the songs and you go, oh, I think I know that. Oh, that sounds like, oh, that... And it's not ripping any songs off. It's just so affectionate in its attention to detail. Like Pale and Precious, it could be, you know, the follow-up to Good Vibrations.
Oh, you flatterer.
Oh, it's a beauty.
It's not bad, is it? Actually, when I came up with it, Dave Gregory took me aside in the studio and said... Partsy, I should do my Dave Gregory impression. Partsy, what the bloody hell are you doing throwing this away on the stupid bloody Dukes idea? Should be our next bloody single, you idiot. that was quite a good impression, but it plays havoc on the larynx.
This is what I've got you on for. We've done all the fluff and the puff, and we'll do any more plugging
I've got my jumbo chords on.
You have been asked to write a song or songs for the new Monkees album. Not the new Monkees, the Monkees' new album. It's the Monkees' 50th anniversary this year. As you know, and most of the listeners know, I am obsessed with the Monkees. My favourite group...
Monkeytastic, aren't you?
My favourite group, having a song written by one of my favourite songwriters. How did that come about? And tell us about the song.
Well, first you've got to tell me your favourite Monkees album.
It's a tough one. It's probably Head.
Really?
Yeah, it's Head.
I'm more of a Pisces, Aquarius, Capricorn and Jones Limited. That's what most people, they forget the Limited on the end.
Yes.
We'll call it Pisces. I'm more your Pisces. That was my first use of Moog synthesizer on pop album.
Yeah, I know, exactly. It was innovative. You were a huge Monkees fan. Did someone mention... Now, I knew that you'd won a competition in the Monkees Monthly, drawing a picture of Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah, I was Monkees obsessed as a youngster.
Did you apply for a pen pal in the Monkees Monthly as well?
No, what happened is I did this cartoon. I can't remember what age I was. Pretty much a stripling, you know. And I did this caricature of Mickey Dolenz because he was the easiest one to caricature.
Mm.
Sent it off thinking, I won't win anything, you know. And, lo and behold, I'd won a tenner. I was one of, like, the four winners or something. And I'd won a tenner. And that was a phenomenal amount of money for me then. And my dad said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you another tenner and we can get this second-hand tape recorder. And we did. We got this second-hand tape recorder. And, of course, that was a huge boost to me in my career of making noises and recording them and messing with them and kind of getting into the career I find myself trapped in inexorably these days.
But yeah, I did that. That was great winning that competition because I used to get the magazine Monkeys Monthly. You know,
I love it. And you have now written a song, which I think they've recorded. Have they recorded? You've written a couple of songs for the Monkees. How many have they done?
A fellow called Andrew Sandoval.
Yep.
He's like a sort of monkey archivist, but he also manages the band. And he got hold of me on Twitter and said, you know, can I have a chat with you? And he emailed me and said, the Monkees are going to make one last great sounding album. We're going to ask a lot of really good writers to contribute songs because they used to get America's Best Writers.
Yeah.
You know, they got the Carole Kings and the Neil Diamonds and the Boyson Hearts and, you know, all these people to write a material. And so they thought they'd go out with a bang and get the best writers they could to do this one last kaboom album. And I was so flattered to be asked because that's like, you know, I equate it to, you know, the symbol for infinity, which is a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I thought, wow, it's one of those moments. I've just started eating my own tail here. It's all perfectly joined up.
I spoke to you and you were genuinely thrilled. I was talking to 15-year-old Andy Partridge. You were genuinely thrilled, weren't you?
I was totally gone on it. Because I was a huge Monkees fan. I used to, when I had hair, I mean, at the moment, I've got more hair coming out of the rim of my ears than I've got on my head. But
that's the way it goes, I'm afraid.
At the time, I had a sort of Peter Tork bowl cut. And I pestered my mum out of her catalogue to get us a Monkees shirt, which was like a double-panel, double-breasted shirt. And I had the jumbo cords with the big white wide plastic belt.
Yeah.
And I used to pick up my dad's old acoustic guitar behind the sofa, and I couldn't really play it, you know. And I'd pretend I was one of the Monkees, probably Peter Tork, because I have the haircut. And it was great, and so to be actually asked to write a song for the Monkees, I couldn't believe it. It blew me mind, man.
And they've done it. They've recorded it. Mickey Dolan sent you a video of him singing it or something, didn't he?
Oh, man. Mickey Dolan sent me a little thing of him in the studio saying, you know, hi, Andy, this is Mickey here. We're just finished the vocals to your song. They're putting it out as the first single. It's called You Bring the Summer. And it's coming out in May. And I got an email two nights ago asking me for the chord charts for another of the songs.
Oh, hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is an exclusive. So, are you allowed to tell us anything about the second song?
I think they're doing a song called. What am I talking about? They are recording a song called "Love's What I Want for Us All."
Oh man!
And I'm that's chuffed with a dollop of cream on top and more chuff on top.
Good.
I'm absolutely amazed. I just hope they will do a good job, won't they? Come on, lads, you're going to do a brilliant.
Well, listen, because they've got really good musicians in there. They've got. I told you, Dolenz's voice now. He's 71. He's still got the voice.
He does sound great. I've heard some stuff he's been doing. Hey, look, can I say something about the Monkees and musicians?
Yeah, go on.
It used to annoy the shirt out of me.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah. it used to annoy the shirt out of me that people used to moan and say, oh, Monkees, they don't play their own instruments. They're not making the music on their own albums. And the same people, years later, if you said to them, well, okay, the first two Monkees albums, they're not making the music. They're only singing. The people that are making the music, the musicians, are the same people who are making all the music on the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the Beach Boys didn't play on the records. Pet Sounds isn't there.
Nobody moaned about that. The same musicians that are playing on the Mamas and Papas, nobody moaned about that. The same musicians that are playing on the Byrds records, nobody moaned about that. And so on and so on and so on and so on. But for some reason, the Monkees got it in the neck.
There's a real snobbery around it. A real snobbery.
Total snobbery about it. When you're listening to the Monkees' early recordings, you're listening to the Beach Boys musicians.
Listen, I could talk to you tonight. I'm going to let you go. I have one final thing. I've had a text from a gentleman I believe you know. Do you know a Mr. Thomas Walsh?
I know Thomas Walsh. Is it a belt? Is it an equator? I know dear old Thomas.
From the excellent Pugwash. And by the way, kids, if you pick up nothing from this evening, go and listen to some Pugwash because it's a treat.
Pugwash are fantastic.
Ask him if we're ever going to record together.
I'm still thinking about it. I'm buying a larger fridge in case.
Oh, Andy, I love you so much. You know that I genuinely think you're brilliant, and it's such an honour that you send me emails and stuff. Well, you know, I am, yes. Listen, I wish you the best. I'm so thrilled for you as well that the Monkees are going to do those songs. I'm excited, and I know that you're over the moon about it.
Yeah, I really, I just want the set now. I just want Macca to ring us up and say, Andy, you're right, it's a tune, will you, man?
Anyway, listen, Andy, it's a pleasure to talk to you, mate. I'll speak to you soon.
All righty. Well, I shall pick up my electric pygmy. He still won't let me plug him in and strum the evening away. So nice to talk to you.
I love you, Andy. Take care, mate.
See you, man.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Talk Radio. This is the best of Ian Lee. After the break, we're going to talk about the EU referendum. No, of course not. There's more Ian Lee highlights coming up after the break here on Talk Radio.
Late night Ian Lee.
On air and off the loop.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
You're still listening to the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio, and I promise that next week I'm going to try and do better. Although some of it's been all right, hasn't it? Oh, this next bit's my favourite bit.
Probably isn't.
Well, what is it? Let's listen. Have you got kids, Jamie?
7. Hello? I get that silence a lot.
How many have you got?
7.
Never!
Really?
Yep.
How many have you got?
7.
That's outrageous!
I've got the oldest one's 21 and she's doing really well, got a career going, and my youngest one is 5 months old.
Oh, mate, put it away! Why do you keep having kids, mate?
Do you know what? When I was a child, I used to help bring up my sister, talk to her, used to change nappies, and
yeah,
I sort of always wanted to be a dad myself.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, so, but I'm a dad, but I've got 2, and that's plenty.
Yeah, well, I did. After 2, I did say I was going to stop, and
you know what does it? Yeah,
I forgot.
You know how they're made.
Well, I found out now. That's why I'm stopping.
Right, okay. So. Now you've made the connection. It'll be easier for you to stop fathering children. 7, flipping heck. Do you, when you read to your kids, do you read to your kids? Of course you do. You sound like a good dad.
Of course you do.
One of the great joys of being a dad, or being a parent, is sitting down and reading to the kids. I love it. Such a thrill.
I love it.
There are times when I'm tired and grumpy and the kids say, read to me, Daddy. And I go, oh no, I'm too tired. And then I catch myself. And I think, do you know what? They won't be asking this for much longer because the oldest can read himself now. Come here, boys. Come on, let's sit down.
It's
now,
brilliant.
When you read, do you do the voices?
Of course, you've got to do the voices.
See, I tend not to do the voices.
You've got to do the voices. I read Cat in the Hat to the kids the other day. Yeah. We all sat down and read Cat in the Hat. And I did it in that fast-paced style that Dr. Seuss.
Well, that's the speed. Speed. I'll do. Oh, I mix and I do the speed, and I go very quiet sometimes. And then I do the thing that makes my boys laugh is I'll read something very, very quietly, and then suddenly on the wrong word, I go loud, and they are terrified, but they just wet themselves laughing. But the voices. And so, all right.
I love the voices.
I haven't got a storybook on. Why would I have a storybook on me? I'm looking around for a storybook. So you do it. What I can't do is. And so the little old lady said, come here, young child. And then the boy said, I'm not going there. What are you talking about? Do you do all that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But then how do you remember whose voice does what? And sometimes, I will go to the break in a second. Sometimes I don't know who's speaking. Because it doesn't say until like after a couple of sentences, said the old lady. So I'll be doing the little boy's voice and then it'll be the old lady. And it just confuses things.
You sort of scan ahead as you're reading doing the voice for that line. You kind of try and scan ahead for the next line.
Where were you trained? Is it RADA?
I think 7 Kids is.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Jamie, you're an excellent sport, mate. I appreciate it. 0844 499 1000. Geeky Girl, have you ever used your karate skills in real life?
Hey, no, not that I can recall, no. But I did used to go to some Thai Jitsu class. That was like ninja stuff.
Hang on a second. Thai Jitsu.
Yeah, that's what they called it, but it was actually ninjutsu. But they called it taijutsu for some reason.
Well, hang on a minute. You've been, was it with the bloke called Gary? Friday, 7:30 to 9:30, only £2.50.
It was about that price, but
yeah, because you've been sold a pup there. Right, taijutsu doesn't exist. That's like Taibo.
is made up. Taibo doesn't exist, right? They've got one word, and taijutsu is not a thing. And also, they're not allowed, legally, they're not allowed to teach you the secrets of the ninja.
Well, maybe that's why they had to change the name. It was an extra layer of secretness. It might have been, you know, all of the shadows.
I thought it was, I genuinely thought it was illegal to teach you the secrets of the ninja. I thought thought there was a law against it. And if anyone was found passing on the secrets for money, here's the best, you know, the best ninja way to kill someone. And this is flipping brilliant, right? You're going to love this. No, not snapping their neck.
We didn't learn to kill people.
This is the best ninja way, but it only works with people who sleep on their back. So I'm safe because I sleep on my side and on my front, right? So the person's asleep on their back, right? And you have to climb up in their eaves, which is where we get the phrase eavesdropping from. Thank you. Climb up in the eaves. That means like the roof for people who aren't as clever as me. And then you get a tiny thin bit of cotton, right? And you unwind it, and you unwind it just above their face. So the end of the cotton is literally like half a centimetre. You've got to be so good at it because it's dark as well. Half a centimetre from their open mouth, right?
Then
you hold it there. And then you get the tiny file of poison, and you have to put it, drop the poison on the bit of thread. So it just drops down, runs down the thread into the mouth. You wind the cotton up.
Oh.
And then they're dead. And there's no evidence at all. Ninja murders with Emily.
How can you see where the little bit of cotton's dangling?
Because you're a ninja, you've got ninja skills.
They don't have night vision goggles.
No, they train them. Flipping it, you claim to know the secrets of the ninja. They live underground for six. I'm actually getting angry now. They live underground for 6 months in complete darkness, so they can see in the dark and they can sense in the dark.
Blimey!
There's a brilliant film, right? And I can't remember. I think it's called right after the first Godfather. There were a lot of people in it that went on to become household names. And they all got, like, their own film projects, right? James Caan's film that he was given after The Godfather, I think it was called Mafia versus Ninja, but I might be wrong.
What?
I might be wrong. I might be confusing. It was him, and it was the short, fat guy from Rocky.
Just one ninja?
No, there's loads of ninjas, right?
Okay.
Right. Guess who wins? So it's the ninja with their ninja skills versus James Caan, the short, fat guy from Rocky, and a few other mafiosa. Guess who wins?
What weaponry have they got?
Well, the ninjas have got all the weapons. The shuriken, the nunchucks. They've got all of the weapons at their disposal.
Have they got bulletproof vests on?
They don't have bulletproof vests.
I'm going to still go with the ninjas.
Yeah. No, the mafia beat the bejesus out of them, seriously.
Oh.
And there's one ninja, right? There's a brilliant bit. I've got to try and find this film, right? There's a brilliant bit where a ninja, in all his glory, jumps out from behind some crates, behind the short, fat one from Rocky, right? And the short, fat one from Rocky turns around, and the fella's like going, what? And the short, fat one from Rocky just makes a fist, punches him in the face, and he falls over into the sea and drowns.
That would never happen.
Exactly.
With a real ninja.
Exactly.
That's misrepresentation.
Yeah, it is. Manny.
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Manny.
How you doing, pal?
I'm doing. Well, do you know?
You know what?
Go on.
I went on holiday, right?
Yeah.
I come back, and you're not there.
Yeah.
And then I found him up, and I says, where's he gone? Oh, we got this new guy. And listen to him. He's really good. I said, you must be bloody barmy.
This is on WM, yeah?
Yeah. I'm not listening to him.
No, he's... Well,
anyway, my daughter knew about you. Anyway, she was coming back the other day. And she goes, the madman's on the radio.
Oh, blimey.
I said, what madman? She goes, the one you used to listen to on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
And then she tuned me the radio because, you know, I can't see. He's chewing me in, and I try to find I missed you.
I've just realised that you're on. Should I tell you why I didn't recognise your voice, Manny?
Because I haven't had a drink.
Yeah, because you're sober. you're sober, and you've not got a hangover. Manny used to phone me at another place I worked at where I left abruptly, as I often do. I leave here abruptly one day. Doesn't matter. It's the nature of the business. And Manny, it's 10 to 11 on a Friday night. Why are you not steaming?
I haven't had a drink for 2 months.
Are you on the wagon?
I am, man, and I'm sort of on it. I haven't fallen off.
Oh, buddy. Well, well done. I'm very pleased. What brought that on, man?
Not to give you a rest.
Yeah, good for you. You feel better for it, I bet.
I do. Helps, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. Good for you, mate. Yeah. Well done.
No headaches in the morning.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was really pleased when you came on this radio. Really, really pleased.
Me too.
Really
meant I could pay the mortgage and feed the kids.
You're a joker, mate.
No, I've not worked for 4.5 months.
Oh, never mind.
Never mind, eh?
Anyway, have a good show.
Is that it? Listen, thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's a weird thing, radio, and it will happen here. I normally get about 3.5 years at a place, and that's not bad odds, but... when someone, I think it's such a terrible disservice to the listener, because radio is a real intimate relationship between presenter and listener, much more intimate than television. You've got no connection with the people on television. Radio, it's me, and I'm talking to you while you're in bed now, or while you're driving to work now, or while you're getting the kids' lunch ready for tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? You've invited me into your house. And when someone leaves a radio station, it's generally, it happened recently to a bloke called Martin Kellner, it's generally you come off and they say, well, that was your last show. Thanks very much. So the person tunes in next week to hear their favourite person or someone they really like. It's just a bit rude.
If you just tuned in, this is the best of Ian Lee. Ian and Kath are away taking a well-deserved night off. You can always catch the best bits of Ian Lee on the Ian Lee Late Night Podcast. You can get that at talkradio.co.uk, through iTunes, or through your usual podcast provider. And don't forget to give it a good 5-star rating. We've got a bit of time coming up to the news. We'll be back very shortly. I'm gonna just press that button there, and then I'm going to press this button there. Go make a cup of tea, and the news will be back very shortly.
Chips and the dips and root beer, even though dark purple rain clouds are near. When you come around, you bring the summer. I'll lay the basket and blanket out deep, even though weathermen say they'll be sleep. When you come around, you bring the summer.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Take a far out trip into the twilight zone of late night radio with Ian Doo 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 on
unmissable late-night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
No, don't get confused. I'm not the unconventional king of late night conversation. I'm Ed, the guy that presses the buttons for Ian Lee. You're listening to the best of Ian Lee here on Talk Radio. Kath and Ian are taking a well-deserved night off, so we're playing some of the best bits of the program that you've heard, or maybe some of them you've probably missed. Anyway, here are some more of the highlights from Ian Lee. Don't forget you can catch the podcast at talkradio.co.uk and subscribe on iTunes and your other podcast providers. Do give it a good 5-star rating. On with the show.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won or have lost, there is one love I should never have crossed. She was a girl in a million, my friend. Should have known she would win in the end. I'm a loser, and I love someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Although I laugh and I act like a clown, beneath this mask I am wearing a frown. My tears are falling like rain from the sky. Is it for her or myself that I cry? I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be. Have I done to deserve such a fate? I realize I have left it too late. And so it's true, pride comes before a fall. I'm telling you so that you won't lose all. I'm a loser, and I lost someone who's near to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
Tim, hip, hip, hip!
Can I ask a quick question?
Of course you can, boss, yes.
When you go hip, hip, hip,
yes.
What am I supposed to say?
You're supposed to go hip, 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 back.
Oh, I did that, didn't I?
But with enthusiasm and gutso and spunk. Are you ready?
Okay. I've got plenty of that. Let me have a go. Let me just sit up straight.
Hip, hip, hip!
Hip, hip, hip.
We're in! What have you got for us, Timothy?
Well, I remember you having this discussion. Well, I think I remember, but I might have dreamt it.
Okay.
But it was a while back,
yeah,
that you were talking about the sexiest animals.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were. We were talking about the sexiest animals. For me, it would be, and I don't want to say a kitten, because that does imply underage. So a sexy cat, a young-looking cat, or a beautiful pony with ribbons in its mane looking over its shoulder.
Yeah, I agree with both of those.
Yep.
And I'd also add, there are certain dogs that have a certain sexiness to them.
Like what, for example?
Well,
which dogs? Whom are you thinking of?
Wayanara, you know, the ones with the blue eyes. Lovely, lovely, dreamy blue eyes.
Wayanara?
What are they called? Wayanara or something?
I don't know. Bill Wayanaras.
Does Casanova, I don't know. Hang on. Wayanara.
Wayanara. Oh.
Yeah, it is called that.
Okay.
W-E-I-M-A-R-A.
Vimarama. Okay, I still don't know what it is. That's none of you are helping in any way whatsoever. So you get horny for dogs, okay.
But I found, I think, the perfect mix of animals.
Yes.
That's I think is probably the sexiest animal in the universe.
Wow.
So far.
Okay.
Have you got Google Image in front of you?
I've got it up now. And Google Image. Yes, sir.
Okay. Maned fox.
Maned fox.
Maned. As in like a mane.
Images. Oh, it's got lovely legs, isn't it?
Lovely legs.
Lovely, like a, lovely like... long legs, like Kate Moss. Or who's the one that slaps air stewardesses? Naomi Campbell.
I know. Yeah, I was about to say Naomi Campbell. And then he's got, like, he or she.
He? Well, I'm no, not, if there's a Freudian slip.
Well, okay, well, we'll move past that. But he's got lovely... bone structure as well on the face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The lovely legs, and then the really fluffy coat, and the mane as well. Bit of everything.
Very cute face. The other week we mentioned the world's most beautiful horse.
Oh yes, I remember.
She was stunning. Well, you know there is now the world's most handsome horse.
Oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, it's in. Is it in the papers today or was it yesterday? Oh, it's in. Here we go. It's in page 3 of the Mail. Hang on a second. Let me find this. It's the Idris Elba of horses.
Oh,
Black Beauty, who's the main attraction?
Hello. I've just gone on Google Images.
Can you see it? Thanks in no sport to his, it's no small part to his gloriously flowing mane. Frederick the Great has become a celebrity horse of international renown. Millions worldwide watch the sleek black stallion's videos. Keep banging on about the colour. I don't technically see colour, but that's by the by.
No.
He stars on his own range of prints, posters and greeting cards and has even been offered roles in movies. I think we know what kind of movies he's been offered parts in.
I know, and sign me up for them. But he looks a bit like a darker Fabio. Do you remember Fabio?
Didn't Fabio die in...
No.
Didn't Fabio...
No,
go on.
Go on.
No, go on, you go.
I remember he got hit...
Didn't...
Fabio...
Get...
Hit...
Died...
By a bird. Do you remember when he got hit by a bird?
No.
Look up Fabio.
What kind of radio show is this where everything you tell me, it starts with the sentence, here, Google this, right? Fabio getting hit by a bird.
Well, that's basically how I navigate any conversation.
Fabio. I reckon Fabio is dead. I've Googled Fabio dead. There you go. Fabio Lanzoni. He's still alive. He's 57.
Looks good for it.
He doesn't, actually. He looks like someone I know. I can't think who he is. Where does he get, say, he gets hit by a bird?
So type in Fabio Bird, and he was on a roller coaster, Fabio and a bird hit him in the face.
I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often. Hey, there's a picture of it!
Yeah.
Look at his bloody nose, and the woman next to him is in hysterics. They're all in hysterics. Even the,
I know, and he's like,
the woman behind him... is covered in his nose blood. And she's in hysterics. Never forget the day Fabio killed a bird with his face. Flipping
heck. Can it get much better than that?
I mean, really, that is... that's amazing. Well, thank you for that, Tim.
No problem.
Ta-ta. Fabio killed a bird with his face. Have you seen the picture? Google Fabio Bird, and the images come up, right? And then you see the picture of the girl behind him covered in his blood. Flipping heck. Evening, Jerry. Hip, hip, hip.
Hip to be square.
Hip square. It's hip to be square. There we go. I see what he's done there. I like that, Jerry. How are you doing, buddy? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. Having a good day today.
Good, good. What you got for us, boss?
As soon as you shrine me, it's on Nemesis at Alton Towers at the front row and sneezed. It's not went behind me, didn't know where it went.
Jeez, we can take calls on that. Your horror stories on fairground rides after Fabio killed a bird with his face.
Nice.
And Jerry snotted over loads of people behind him.
I once locked somebody in the toilets all night as well. I've done some stupid things in my life.
Yeah.
Locked somebody in the public toilets all night. You make a quick save, the shopper's champion.
Yeah.
And we had to lock the toilets up and was embarrassed. So then just like the ladies.
Here we go. I'm having a real problem at the moment, Jerry, with my fly, right, on my jeans. it's broken, so it keeps coming down. And I've been doing a lot of talks, and I keep, you know, I keep noting halfway through that my fly's undone. And I'm talking in schools and colleges.
You're messing with yourself.
It's inappropriate.
Yeah. Could be arrested for that.
You could be very...
I'll get on the station and answer a few questions.
Yeah, well, exactly. You've got...
Half of the inquiries.
All right. Stop, just in case they're listening. Please don't.
I'm off. I've had Dr. Pepper, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, I remember when Dr. Pepper came out in this country, right? And we were all excited. A new fizzy pop. There was a new fizzy pop. Wow, let's go and buy... Mummy, can we try the new fizzy pop? Yeah, OK. It is disgusting.
Yeah, well, get off your face. I've been tweeting all night to you.
To me?
Yeah.
I've not got them, mate.
Yeah.
Where?
It's under a different name. Also, means cutting crap. Where's the crap?
Oh, by the way, guys, if you've got any legal highs, they are now officially illegal. No. You got to bin them. You got to hand them into the authorities. I'm having an Ian Lee, formerly legal, now illegal high amnesty. If you see me in the street, give me your formerly legal highs and I will dispose of them for you in the only way I know how.
A pop party. What were we on about before? Hopefully I've waited for the CPS as well.
Why have you had a word with the CPS?
No, work for the CPS.
Oh, you work for the CPS?
Yeah.
Oh, well, in that case, forget the last 30 seconds of radio. It was, of course, biting satire, Jerry.
Yeah. What I was going to say, the Hulk, he's trying to find hidden strength. I remember last night, spent 3 hours trying to write a tweet to you.
Yeah.
Just finishes and doesn't get painted with the right answer. Unbelievable.
Well, that's the way it goes, mate. Well, thank you for attempting.
Okay.
Jerry, nice to talk to you, fella.
Say hello to Cass.
No, I won't.
She's sexy.
Oh, right, good night. Thank you very much indeed. We'll have none of that. Well, there we go. Look, we haven't given up the phone number for an hour and a quarter. That's a first on this radio station. I will give it out in a minute, though, because what we're going to do for the last 45 minutes of the show is we'll take your calls straight to air. I'll explain how it works after this.
Actually, we won't, because this is the best of Ian Lee. We're playing some of the best bits from Ian Lee's show here on Talk Radio. More highlights after this.
Late Night Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Ed. You know, Ed, sorry, I've got to get the pronunciation of my own name right. Ed, Ian's tech operator. And tonight we're playing some of the best bits of Ian Lee. Ian and Kath have taken the night off, a well-deserved break. And here we are with some more highlights from the program.
When you was on...
Late Night Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, there we go, an hour and 15 minutes without giving the phone number out. That's got to be a record. Make sure my boss knows. I will give it out now because things change for the rest of the show. I take your calls straight to air. You call 0844 499 1000. 7 pence a minute plus access charge, significantly more from mobiles. And you come straight to air. Like this, line one, you're on the wireless.
I'm going to brush my teeth in 14 minutes.
You're really only meant to do it for 2 minutes. Any more than that is detrimental. How tricky is it with the electric toothbrush, right, to not do the brushing motion? Because you're not meant to. You're meant to hold it still and then move it and then move it. And I still find myself doing the brushing motion with the electric toothbrush. Now, that's no good to anybody, is it? That's not having any... benefit on the tooth at all. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hey up, Ian.
Hello, Russ.
I've got a poke again for you. I know there's not long left in the show.
Yeah, go on, man.
It's just something different.
Yeah.
Word poker, but it's not just any word. There've got to be words that are satisfying or therapeutic to pronounce. Right.
Okay, you go first.
I've got two.
Well, give us one, and we'll have a go.
Right, trebuchet.
Serendipity.
It hasn't quite got it, but...
Hang on a minute!
No,
serendipity hasn't got it? Are you nuts, Russ?
It's in the pronunciation. If you get it, mate, if you feel it, then that's
I feel it.
That's
I feel it. I'm feeling it. Serendipity.
Feel it. Nice one. Well, no, so we're going to carry on with the next call.
Well, go on, no, go on. What's your next one? Go on.
Thomas Schaffernacker.
Well, that's... Now you're introducing names into it.
I wasn't expecting to be carrying it on. I thought you were going to, like, carry it on with, the, like, different calls. So you've caught me out there.
And I'm going to...
Schaffernacker is a nice one.
OK, I'm going to say one, and it's a rude word, but I don't mean it to be rude, but I like the word. Fellatio.
Well, this is what it's all about. It's words that give you that... to pronounce.
Yeah.
That's a nice one. I like that one.
Yeah, I bet you do, Russ. Thank you very much indeed. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Oh, mate.
Hello, mate.
What's it called earlier on when you were on about stuff, and how's your mum anyway? Because what it is...
Yeah.
When you was on an advert earlier on, I flicked through, yeah, and you was right the other night saying about taking a mum out of hospital.
Yeah.
Because a study saying now...
Yeah.
That vulnerable old people should not be kept in hospitals.
Yeah. Well...
And you are right to do that.
She's all right. I think she's having the operation that she needs tomorrow. Fingers crossed, if it goes well, she'll go home Friday. So fingers are crossed, although I bet she goes home Monday. But we're getting close to her getting back home.
Lovely. Just let you know, I have not seen that puma lately.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, that's a relief. Line one, you're on the wireless.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
I want to join the loser club, and I like to love bum people in America.
Okay, we need to come up with a good name for the late night losers. I don't like things that sound all nice and tidy. It always sounds a little bit radio. Ian Lee's late night losers. It sounds a little bit manufactured. Do you know what I mean? But or Lee's losers. I hate all that kind of stuff. So the loser club, late night losers. I don't know what are we going to call it, Rashid?
Lol. Losers on late.
Oh, now we're using
no,
lol.
No, it ain't catchy, is it?
It's tough, isn't it?
It's got my imagination going.
Good.
Somebody mentioned the T-shirts.
Yeah.
T-shirts. But what if we meet in Asda? You know, what would be the handshake? Would it be the L to the forehead? Like a loser?
Yeah, of course. We'll be doing that. Yeah, definitely.
Or would it be the what do you call it? The high five fails when, you know, people are going high five.
Oh, someone goes for a high five and everyone ignores it.
I love watching them on YouTube.
Yeah, they are the most uncomfortable things in the world, aren't they?
wicked. The losers. Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip. Thank you, Rashid. 0844. 499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. And this is kind of how the last hour rolls, really. And again, it's a weird time. 21 minutes past 12 on a Wednesday night, Thursday morning. Technically, it's not Thursday morning until you've had a sleep. And you've probably got a long day tomorrow, haven't you? Tough day ahead of you. I have. Got a long old day. It'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing the kids. I haven't seen them for the last couple of weeks, really. Because of work and stuff, but it's going to be tiring. It means I'll be tired for tomorrow's show. And then Friday, I got a busy day. Saturday, I can have a little sleep. But, this is a weird time of night, isn't it? So weird things can happen. If you just want to let off steam in whatever way that may be, whether that's phoning up and making a silly noise or singing a song or playing a bit of the telly down the phone or whatever... you're welcome to. Works like this. You dial the phone number. I see you flashing on the screen. I touch the screen and go, line one, you're on the wireless.
Hi, and it's Nelson from the Norfolk.
Hello, Nelson. What you got for us? Thank you very much indeed. Well, that's a blast from the past. Line two, you're on the wireless.
Oh, you're right, Ian. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. What you got for us?
Yeah, you play all the, like, the Littlest Hobo theme, I heard you playing the Hulk theme, and then you mentioned the Laverne and Shirley last night.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, when you hear a theme tune you really like from a TV show,
yeah,
but then you hear it, like, years later, and it's got a second and third verse that you just didn't know existed. I've got two examples.
Yeah, Cheers. Go on.
Cheers and Married with Children.
I don't remember the Married with Children theme.
It's Dean Martin, you know, the love and burn.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that's it. I don't know if you can think of one.
Well, off the top of my head, I can, right? But they're not songs, they're instrumentals. The Professionals. I remember hearing the full Professionals, because it's got, like, this massive extended guitar solo in the middle.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right.
No, it's not right at all.
There's a whole website to do with the Cheers one. I went and Googled it. There's a load of people getting a bit geeky about it, but, yeah.
There's a really good version of the Cheers. What do you mean there's a whole website to it? Cheers theme?
I Googled it and it was like, oh, it will blow your mind. And it's not. It's just like two or three extra verses. Apparently, the lyrics don't make any sense.
There is. I'm trying to find. There's a really good cover version of the Cheers theme. I'm trying to think.
Oh, nice.
I can't think who did it. I'll try and find it. Keep listening, because I'm going to try and find it. Look, line one, you're on the wireless.
Teacher man. Give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Smack him in the mouth and he won't come back again.
Yes, line two.
Ian. It's Rossi from Lichfield. I'm the brother of Ross, who normally calls in like I'm Ross. Ian, mate, I've had it off in the Old Bailey, like. Yeah, what happened was, right, I was in there watching a case, right, and I was simultaneously tweeting to me mate, right, on my TalkSport Late Night Loser Golden Year Facebook page, right, 2001 to 2007.5, and all of a sudden I feel somebody under the bench, you know, well, relieving me, like, Ian. I look down, Ian, and no word of a lie, it was all of a sudden.
Are you good, mate? All right?
Great. Hurting and meowing. Best
day the queen of all words,
mate.
Moist. The king of all words, Flint. Imagine a moist plinth.
Trying to find this cover version of the Cheers theme. And I can't remember who did it. Hang on a minute. Bear with me. It was the Wild Hearts, wasn't it? But I can't seem to find it. Ah! Aha! Ah-ha-ha-ha. I found it. We'll play it when we come back from the break. That's what we'll do. I remember it being brilliant, and I haven't heard it for about 15 years, so let's see. It might be complete and utter pony. 0844 499 1000 is the phone number. This is the last hour of the show. And it kind of, we just sort of slow things down a little bit, really. And we kind of take calls straight to air, and people call in about stuff and make silly noises and do silly voices. And it's all stunning. I've got a stitch. I've had a stitch for about 3 months. Is that bad? I think that's a bad thing. I do. I am. I'm not a hypochondriac, but I do worry that I'm ill quite a lot. I remember twice I thought I had MS because my mum's got it. And the first time I went and had all these tests because my right arm was numb. And I went and had all these tests. And do you know what it was? It turned out I had my watch strap too tight. I mean, isn't that dumb? Huh? Isn't that dumb?
You're listening to the best of Ian Lee here on Talk Radio. Ian and Kath are taking a well-deserved break tonight. We've got more highlights for you after this.
Unmissable late night radio with the original king of unconventional conversation.
Make contact with Ian Lee.
Late night Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
You're with Talk Radio. This is the best of Ian Lee for Friday night. I'm Ed the Tech Op. More best of Ian Lee coming up right now.
Better than I remember, as the Wild Hearts. And was John Poole a member of the Wild Hearts at that point? I don't know. I'm delving into a different person's life trying to remember that. So apologies. 0844 499 1000. Yesterday will forever be remembered as the day that we decided we were going to start a losers' club. We invented our own secret handshake, hip, hip, hip. And we went for an hour and 15 minutes without giving out the phone number. Boom. Have some of that. We'll give out now if you want. 0844 499 1000. 7 pence a minute plus your access charge. Significantly more for mobiles. Catherine, you're welcome to come and join the laugh riot. The Giggle Factory is open for another 27 minutes, guys. Another 27 minutes. So they've gone shy on the phones, which is fine. Which is fine. These things happen.
They've shot their bolts.
An argument with Russ over how delicious the word serendipity is.
Mm.
It's a delicious word, I think, to say. It's a delicious word. You're not keen on it?
I like it.
I like it because it's got lots of letters that look the same. The D, the P, the T.
And it also sounds crazy.
Line one, you're on the wireless.
I started a business the other day.
Oh, yes?
It's the complimentary medieval weaponry business.
How's it going?
It's all freelance at the moment.
Line two, you're on the wireless.
What's it all about, Alfie?
You tell me. I've gone. Perfect. And that's perfect. And that is exactly... Let's get it. We need a little bit of... Let's have sheep dip, shall we? Let's have sheep dip. And that's exactly what this hour should be, is people letting off... Oh, no, let's get the elastic band one. Where's the elastic band one? I like this one. Let's have this one. And that's exactly what this should be. It's people letting off steam. Maybe they've had a tough day or they've got a tough day coming up. So what better way to release the stresses of the day or build up the energy for the day tomorrow by phoning up and singing a line from a Cilla Black song? Line one, you're on the wireless.
I found the page.
Sorry?
I found the page, the prison page.
Oh, you found the page where you can watch...
I've got mixed feelings. Now I feel really bad. Now I've got this shame. Like,
I've got mixed feelings. I don't...
Yeah,
The prisoner's actually calling it Fight Club, or is that...
No. Should I say the name on air?
No. Don't say the name on air.
Okay.
But what are... It's just prisoners beating each other up.
Weirdly, the first video I saw was of a dance-off. Second video I saw is someone putting their mate in a tumble dryer.
Putting their what?
I thought, this isn't... It's someone putting their mate in a tumble dryer.
Oh, that's a bit of...
And I was like, this all seems like a hijink. And the next video was... it's called Fight Club. And, it was someone quite heavily demolishing some other guy. Wow. In fairness, the other guy came back after having left the room and took his arm.
Considering what they could be getting up to in prison... That other fella's probably still getting off quite lightly.
It was a pretty severe beating, but he was well enough to come and shake the guy who'd just beaten him up.
Oh, he shook his hand. Well, then in that case, everything is...
it's all fine.
Can't they do... Because I can't get a phone signal in my house, right? Mobile phone signal in my house. I have to go and stand outside. Can't they put, like, something in the prison that stops them getting a phone signal?
But then the guards probably, like to... use their phones as well.
Tough luck on those guards, for crying out loud. Oh, no, hang on, we don't want to punish those guys. It's the prisoners. Or can they not do more bum searches? Because that's where they keep the phones, bums and drones.
Why is it always about bum searches with you?
It is.
He makes an excellent point, and I insist that my team have a daily bum search carried out by yours truly, and that will keep on going until I find those phones and drones. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. We'll do the tomorrow. I keep wanting to play Gina Davis, Nicolas Cage. It's a game I've invented, but it's a really tough one, and I'm kind of building up the psychic energy. It's not one you can just casually toss off. You've got to be in the right frame of mind for it. I do like the Periscope thing. It's a little bit niche, right? Because not everyone's got access to it. You can do it, watch it on your computer or on your phone. Not everyone's got it. So maybe we'll save it for the last hour on Friday. That's what we'll do. We'll do it after 12 when some people go to bed. And if people aren't interested in the Periscope thing, they can go to bed. You know, that'll be the thing. So we'll do that. We'll find someone and I'll have to decide who that's going to be. I'll have a little look around later and see if there are any clues. But we want someone that's just got like two or three people watching and while they're doing whatever, and just suddenly we all pile in and we keep tapping those hearts, man. And we send nice messages, okay? We don't want, because Periscope can be a little bit. You can be a little bit raucous, you guys. And we'll keep tapping the hearts and we'll send nice stuff and we'll blow their minds in a loving way. That'll be fun, I think. I think that's what we'll do. They've gone shy on the phones. That's fine. There's not really a lot in the papers either. So, John, if you want to contribute anything?
What should I contribute? OK, let's have a think. I've not watched that film yet, the...
Time Crimes. No. Time Crimes. I don't think you'll like it, actually.
Why?
Line one, you're on the wireless.
Katie Hopkins, who's trying to make herself into a hate figure. The trouble is she's too pathetically stupid to be a hate figure. So she says, I'm prepared to say what a lot of people are thinking, but don't have the so-and-so to say it. I don't care if you love me or hate me. Of course she does. You know, she's an ugly with a rather silly voice. She says, I don't like fat people. I'm not a fan of gingers. I don't like unemployed people. She just says stupid things. She might as well say, I mean, we might as well say we don't like old women with badly bleached hair and ugly face. You know, it's just stupid. Nobody's interested. Nobody's interested in anything she's got to say. She was a failure on The Apprentice. She's a failure wherever she goes. She just says stupid things. One of these days, somebody's going to come up to her and literally get a big mud pie and go in her face and go, oh, that's funny. Isn't that hilarious? She's neither. She's not interesting. She's not controversial at all.
That was Steve Allen.
Talking about his friend, Katie Hopkins,
that was
now.
Steve Allen there, talking about Katie Hopkins. Can I... can I just play you? Just bear with me. Just bear with me.
Wasn't he just having a go at her for doing what he does?
Yeah. He's a nasty piece of work. But, where is it? I haven't got the clip. Where is it? I really don't know what the hell is going on with my my computer. I can't find anything. It was there a while ago. Oh, hang on a second. This. So she's just making sure everything's all right. There we go.
Here he is.
Well done on your award. I'm very pleased.
Thank you very much.
73 years in radio.
Unbelievable.
And finally won the gold award.
73.
Hey, what's Ian Lee's beef with you? He was banging on about you the other day on Twitter, having a bit of a whinge.
I know, really?
Yeah. Do you know him?
Well, he used to work for us.
Yeah. Oh.
That's all I know.
He seemingly was saying some things about you.
Really?
Yeah, I'll stick up for you. I don't have any beef with Ian Lee whatsoever, but I'm not having that. Not having people picking on my...
No, exactly.
On my Steve Allen.
Dreadful person.
I mean, he did... Granted, he did... One of the tweets he did say you're a bit two-faced. Or someone... No, someone did. He didn't. And I'm like... Well, that's not true.
Oh, you know what? Well, that
Steve used to hate me, met me, and now likes me. So I wouldn't say that's two-faced.
I don't think that's two-faced. Somebody said to me, oh, so you've had guests in conversation you used to slag off, and you go, yeah, everybody can change their opinion.
Yeah.
Well, nice to meet Little Miss Perfect out there.
And by the way, Steve often has guests on that he doesn't like and still doesn't change his opinion afterwards.
No. Oh, I did about Katie Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
What?
I didn't like Katie Hopkins to start with.
Oh, yeah. And you should have stayed in that place.
She's really nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. If that's not the definition of two-faced, I have no idea what is.
This is the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll be back with more highlights after the break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Hi, it's Ed the Tech Op here. Ian and Kath are taking a well-deserved break tonight, but don't worry, we do have more highlights of the best of Ian Lee coming up right now.
Yes, Line 1, you're on the wireless.
Hi, Ian. I'm really enjoying the show tonight, but I've got a problem.
Yeah, of course. What can we help you with?
Well, I'm listening online
because
you're not available on DAB around these parts.
I apologise for that, yes.
That's okay. My laptop battery currently has 8 minutes remaining.
Ay, 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 ay.
Now, I could plug the laptop in, but I thought I'd pay something like £30 per minute just to listen on the phone.
Okay.
I do realise I could just stream you on the phone.
Well, the choice is yours. You can either feed my kids or...
Yeah.
You can steal the food from two adorable young children and...
mine as well.
And, yeah, and listen on your phone. And stream it.
Why's your bed music from an old BT advert?
It's the Penguin Cafe Orchestra.
It's Bob Hoskins going, it's good to talk.
It's good to talk.
And he was right.
It's good to talk. Yes, it was. Was this the music they used?
Uh-huh. It was.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
So I've learned something and you've learned something.
Well, what have you learned?
My battery now says it's got 11 minutes remaining, so I've learned that if I phone you, my laptop charges itself
there
by 3 minutes.
That's what happens, you see. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number. Line 1, you're on the wireless. Hello.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hip, hip, hip.
Hip, hip, hip.
You were talking about Harold Shipman earlier on, the Doctor.
Yes, we were. The good doctor, the bad doctor.
I saw the film. Have you seen the film about him?
Who played Shipman in the film? Was it wasn't Martin Clunes, was it?
No.
It was someone,
the
wasn't
film,
it?
The film was called The Old Deer Hunter.
The what?
The Old Deer Hunter.
The Old Deer Hunter.
Oh, I see what you've done there. I see. You've made a joke about a man murdering a woman. But there was a film, wasn't there a film on ITV about with him? And it had, I know there's one about Fred West. But wasn't someone, it was someone, it wasn't Clunes, obviously.
No, Clunes does play a doctor on telly, though.
But it was someone was playing Shipman, and they had the beard and the glasses and everything. It was James Bolam. Yeah, it was one of the likely lads, the not-so-likely lads.
And he's also responsible for the aberration that is Grandpa in My Pocket.
James Bolam, Harold Shipman. He was also in the worst sitcom ever, written by a friend of mine. Called Pay and Display.
Oh, what was that about?
It was about two people working in a car park. It was rubbish. My mate Dom wrote it.
Goodness.
I remember watching it round his house and it was...
What did you do with your face?
I went, oh, well done, man. That's really good. Look, there's Bolam as Harold Shipman. Look. Isn't that good?
Lord.
Isn't that good? Well, I wouldn't mind sourcing that and watching it. I bet that's good, that. Good bit of drama. Why are we... As a people, obsessed with murder. We love a good murder. We love a good murder story. We love a bit of curtain rattling. We also love, murder films. Films where people get murdered. And we also love reading books about real murderers.
It's modern-day horror, isn't it? You know, because we don't believe in ghosties and that
anymore.
What do
you mean it's modern-day horror? Modern-day horror is modern-day horror.
No, in the olden times, we would have been telling stories of the Babadook...
That's a rubbish film.
Or, you know...
My mate Scott was scared of that film. It's rubbish.
I've seen it.
That's rubbish.
Crud. Or terrible Banshees film. Or whatever, right? Yeah. Now we're frightened of the devil within.
I don't think that comes anywhere close to touching the actual truth of it.
Give me your theory, then.
Well, no, I don't have a theory. This is what I'm asking. But what you've said sounds like bollocks, if I'm honest, it does. Because we love reading about murders, but imagine, we've spoken to a young lad who's, you know, had a member of his family murdered, right? And I wonder, okay, here we go. I wonder if now that murder has touched his family, whether he gets the same pleasure out of horror films, for example, you know, where it's a murderer killing people, that we do, that someone who hasn't been touched by murder specifically gets. And we do get pleasure, because it's fun to be scared. And I'm explaining to my boys that there are two types of scared. There's the scared where you want to run, and that's not fun. But there's the fun scared where you're watching a film and it's a bit scary, but actually it's brilliant because you know it's a film. And you can kind of revel in that and enjoy that. And I wonder if that has touched someone's life, if they view those films differently. And if they read the story, you know, we are flippantly joking about Harold, we're joking about Harold Shipman. And I wonder if people... other people who've been affected by murder can make those same jokes.
Mm.
I don't know. Don't know. 0844 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. You've gone shy, and that's fine. Are you all done? Is your podcast up?
I'm sorted.
Is it up?
Because
as soon as the show... Pack your computer up, seriously, because as soon as this show is done, I'm going.
Right, okay.
I'm going.
Right,
go.
I'm doing it.
Here's the thing, dear listener. We'll look through. Oh, can you see if the papers are in for the last 5 minutes? I wonder what time they come in. Because they come... Just as we leave. What is the point of that? Just as we leave. Today's newspapers come in. How the hell does that work? For crying out loud. Oh, here's a... The Star is full of really good stories today, right? Where do we start? We start with Tarzan or... Well, they're both connected. They're both swingers. The Babadook wasn't scary, Scott. Let's tweet him. It's proper scary. It wasn't scary. It was utter rubbish. Ed, I've got literally no idea what that means.
Papers
but don't.
Here.
Okay, well, thank you very much indeed. You could have just shook your head instead of motioning in semaphore. They're both connected. They both involve swingers. One is Tarzan and one is this. Swingers romp for a hospice. Now, you've got to respect these guys. Swingers, oh dear, are raising cash for a hospice by holding steamy wife-swapping orgies. Imagine such a thing. Here we go, here we go. This is why this show is so brilliant. John, who we spoke to earlier on and was gracious enough to talk to us about Bon Jovi Unplugged and the story of his uncle meeting a tragic end, murdered. And John just replied on Twitter, I hadn't really thought of it, but I haven't watched a horror film since. Hashtag hip, hip, hip. So isn't that interesting? I wonder, because murder to me, John, murder is not real. It's not real. It doesn't happen. You know, it's something I read about and something I watch and something I see. It's not real. It hasn't touched me. So I don't have, thank Christ, the cold claws of it around me, you know. It's interesting. I appreciate you getting back, John. Thank you. Randy couples are packing sex clubs. Where the hell are these sex clubs? Where are all of these sex clubs? Randy couples are packing sex clubs across the country to raise cash for the good cause. The events are organised by Swingfields. An event last weekend at a sex club in Kent. Careful. Careful. I don't like this bit of music. Let me find something. Let's go to the next one. That's called Pythagoras' Trousers. Let's try... Oh, no, let's try this one. This one looks like a nice one. I love this. There we go. It's the end of the show. I do like the way the... I used to worry when we didn't get calls towards the end of the show. But now I kind of... I quite enjoy the fact that the show sort of gently unwinds. It collapses. And I love it. I think it's brilliant. Because of that. No, I'm saying the show's brilliant. I think that's a nice thing that happens. An event last weekend at a sex club in Kent promised open from 10 a.m. 10 a.m. Who feels fruity at 10 a.m, really? Who can be bothered that time of the day? With the party beginning at 8 p.m. till 3 a.m. finish, this will be a wild night of madness and badness. Charity raffle on the night with some great prizes. I mean, really? You're going to an orgy? Where are you going to keep your raffle tickets? That's the question. Where the hell are you going to put your raffle tickets? Got to put them somewhere, haven't you? Five events have been held so far this year. One took place at a mansion in Radlett. Organisers said this special theme party night is one for the ladies and couples. Stockings and stripes, fancy dress optional, but no jeans or T-shirts. Swimming pool, hot tub. Oh, dear. Oh, God, that water in a hot tub. Jeez. Sauna and plenty of play zones. But the organisers are keeping secret the charity their evenings to support. One told a would-be punter, we need to be careful on giving the names of the hospice, as some charities are reluctant to take donations from this lifestyle. So we will then speak to them once we know what we've raised. 500 quid so far. And if not, we will make it as a personal donation. Isn't that... well, you know, good. There's no reason that swingers are, by definition, the least selfish people in society, aren't they? The least selfish people in society. The fact that they're sharing their bodies, their wives, and their seminal fluids.
Well, that's the best of Ian Lee for tonight. Thank you very much for sticking with us for the last 3 hours. Ian and Kath will be back next week here on Talk Radio. Don't forget, you can catch the best of this week, 6 a.m. Sunday here on Talk Radio. And don't forget to download and subscribe to Ian Lee's podcast. Just search Ian Lee, IAINLEE, in iTunes or your usual podcast provider, and subscribe to it that way. And don't forget to give it a good review. A good old 5 stars would be very helpful. I've been Ed Swift. I'm still going to be Ed Swift. I'm Ed, your tech op for tonight with Ian Lee. We'll be back next week. The two mics are up next here on Talk Radio. Have a great weekend, and we will catch you on Monday morning.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.